Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned into our Grace Like a Flood series. Today's message will give you biblical keys on how to see, give, and receive God's grace. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Let's get into the Word. I want to expand your vocabulary today, and I want to teach you a vocab word like we were in school. And that word is immutability. Now, they're going to have to put it on the screen because I'm not even going to spell it for you right now. But immutability, and I want to tell you what this is. Immutability is the inability to change. So this word is used in the Bible to describe God, that God has the is immutable. He cannot change. And this is a great thing for us because there is nothing in this world that doesn't change. But what we get in God is the title of my message, an anchor. Because God is the thing that in the midst of life does not change. And see, many of you immutable, okay, maybe you'll understand this word, mutate or mutant. If you were born in the 80s or 90s, there was some Ninja Turtles called the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They were turtles that became ninja. They changed into ninjas. So it's talking about change. Immutability is the opposite, the ability to be able not to change. And God is immutable. Okay, now why is this important for us to know? It's because we need an anchor in this life. Like everything in the world is changing. Your relationships are changing. Your body size is changing. Oh, God, help us. Our society is changing. Our governmental system, finances are changing. The earth is changing. Y'all hear what's happening in Hawaii? Earthquakes and volcanoes. Everything's changing. What do we have to anchor on in this world that's always changing? I got good news for you. I found my anchor and I found your anchor, and it is the unchangeable God. I want you to write that down today because that's the title of my message. And I pray that everybody gets this, that by the end of this message, you'll be able to say, I got it. I found my anchor. It's the unchangeable God. When we talk about grace like a flood, and we use this analogy of the seas and the water and oceans, if you've ever seen an anchor is the thing that if you want to stay in the same place, you drop it. And what happens, because many of y'all can't swim, so y'all ain't never been on the sea, but what happens, well, we got to do better, y'all. But what ends up happening is that on the boat, if they need to stay and be in the same place, they drop something that is heavier and weightier and greater than the ship. They drop on it, and they're able, no matter what winds and waves and storms come in their life, they're able to stand firm because they have an anchor. The problem is many of our lives are tied to things that aren't able to hold us steady. Oh, come on, y'all. Many of us, we're tied to our job. My job is not my anchor. Yeah, I know. You've been loyal for 56 years. I'm about to get a pin after 56 years and a bracelet. And listen, if that job lets you go tomorrow, you have an anchor. And it is the unchangeableness of God. I'm about to preach this thing today. Some of y'all need to understand that if you lose everything, you still have an anchor. That God is for you and he is good. And somebody came in here discouraged today and somebody thought this was your last moment. But you got to really understand that your husband and wife can't be your anchor. Oh, I'm coming for you today. See, many times we get disappointed in somebody who never had the ability to meet those expectations in your life. You mad at them, but they can't heal your daddy wounds. They can't make you feel secure about what you won't allow God to feel. So you have to drop your anchor on God. And what does God say to us? That's why he sent grace. And grace becomes the anchor that we can drop our faith on. That no matter what good happens, what bad happens, we've been extended the grace of God. And for everybody who hasn't taken down this definition, I want you to write this down. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved, unearned kindness and favor of God. Like nothing you do made you deserve what God's done for you. Like I know you're cute now. And I know you make more money than you ever have. And I know you stop cussing as much. Y'all know as much because you know the right situation. Mm-hmm. But the grace of God is a free gift. It's something that all we can do is, everybody say receive. Okay? And that's what we've been talking about in this whole series. And when you understand that, this makes it so exciting to know that God is immutable or unchangeable, because that means that grace is going to be steady. See, we live our lives like God's not going to keep being good because we're not. So many of you didn't even want to come here today because you did something this week that you know was sin or you know was wrong. And so, you know, I don't want to fake. I don't want to come in the presence of God and just be a hypocrite. No. He still loves you now as much as he did before you did whatever you did. He wants you to, in the presence of God, lift your hands and say, Daddy, I need you. And ask, and somebody needs to repent. He's not holding you to the standard you hold others to. I'm going to say it one more. He's not holding you to the standards you hold others to. And that's why, church, until we understand this message of grace, we never truly give or receive what is freely available. So I want to go deeper so we can find our anchor today in the grace of God. So God is immutable. He can't change. And there's tons of scriptures like Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should have to repent. Basically, he's saying he ain't got to turn from anything because he right. Like the way he going to do it is going to be the right way. He don't got to lie about it. He does not change. Look at Malachi 3:6. It says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Now, y'all, if it ain't plainer than that, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say to you. So once we understand that, we look at the character's life we've been looking at in Abraham. Last week, we talked about Abraham, how God came to him in Genesis 12, and Abraham was out there. He was a heathen. He was messed up, jacked up. And God came to him in Genesis 12 and said, Abraham, I know you've heard a lot of bad things about me. A lot of people say that I'm mad at you and frustrated. He said, I know you've done some crazy stuff, but I want to bless you. And I want to multiply you, and I want to make your name great in the earth. And he like, why would you even choose me to do this? He said, because I'm a God of grace. And so I actually want to do more for you than you think you deserve. But all you have to do is, everybody say, believe. Like he said, all you have to do, believe. And then we talked about it like last week, like God, when we believe, takes sin out of our account and he puts righteousness there. Like he takes sin completely and he puts righteousness. And so when he sees us, he doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees his son. See, when you believe in Jesus, then we, because the Bible tells us all have sinned. And you still sin it. And you gonna sin. Like it's inevitable. And sin means missing the mark. How many of us this week missed the mark? Put your hands up. If you don't, you're a liar. Like, you missed the mark. And that's the funny thing. We come into church and we act like somehow by admitting that we missed the mark, God's going to mark us and tell us we're, he was there when you did it. There's no text message you can hide from him. Do you hear me? There's no, but we have not become free enough to say, Daddy, I did it. Daddy, my daughter right now, Isabella, she's 4 years old. And one of the most amazing things is we have taught her to bring her faults to us. So she doesn't hide when she drops milk on my computer. When she writes on the wall, she will come get me. Say, Daddy, I did something. And I didn't say anything to her. But she knows even after she sins, it's better to have Daddy involved. Then to run away and try to act like it didn't happen. And many of the church, we are hiding our sins. Don't come in this room. Don't come in here. Don't do that. And Daddy says, I'm the only one that can fix it. Why wouldn't you allow me to come in? Because we haven't understood the message of grace. And so God's saying, I'm unchangeable. And this is where he turns to Abraham in Hebrews 6. And he says, I want to bless you. And all you have to do is believe. Let's look at Hebrews 6:13. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. I want to prophesy to somebody. At the end of this, I want you to say your name, okay? Because I believe God wants to multiply and bless some people in this room, okay? It says, surely blessing, I will bless you. Say your name. Come on, you better say it with your chest. Come on, you better say it. Let's try it again. Surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. I'm telling you, this is the season where God's coming to you. And he's saying, I'm not trying to keep stuff from you. I'm not trying to take stuff out of you. I want to bless you and I want to multiply you. Can somebody give God praise right there? Oh, they don't believe it over here, but I saw this side knows it. Now watch this. And it says, and so after he had patiently endured, I could preach this. This ain't even part of my message, but somebody need this. The promise, the blessing, and the multiplication is coming if you patiently endure. It took you 20 years to create this situation, and you prayed for 2 weeks. And now you're ready to quit and give up. No, baby. If you patiently endure. Somebody needed that. Was free. That ain't even a part of. It said he obtained. After he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Your waiting is not in vain. It will always produce the promise, but you have to wait on it, okay? Let's keep going. It says, and so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men on earth, they indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them and an end to all dispute. Thus God, determining to show Abraham more abundantly to the heirs of the promise, and I'm going to show you that we are the heirs of the promise, the immutability or the unchangeableness of God. He said the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This is my favorite scripture. It says, this hope we have as an anchor to our souls, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. I have found my anchor. And this is the beautiful thing that I want you to understand, that God is saying, when you get the message of grace and you drop on that and know that God can't change and he can't lie, and no matter if you're doing good or if you're doing bad, he's for you, he's with you, he's standing, it drops an anchor on your soul. And your soul is your mind, your will, and that's where every battle happens. It's in your feelings and your thoughts. Like you know, you dealing with so much stuff right now and nobody externally knows. It's here and here. And so what God says is when you understand my grace, it drops an anchor so that when people leave and situations change and you're broke and then you're rich and the storms of life happen, you got an anchor. I'm still in this. I will not capsize. I will not turn over. I will not be overwhelmed and drown. Oh, come on, somebody. I have an anchor for my soul. And when you understand that, you stop going to other things as temporary fulfillments. See, that's what we're all searching for, is an anchor, something to keep us steady. So you go to the alcohol thinking that's going to keep you steady. And you go to that illicit relationship to that thinking that, and those are buoys. Y'all know, they're not an anchor. They're moving too. And so we're disappointed when stuff changes because we're not tied to the thing that doesn't change. They can take everything away from me, but I have an anchor for my mind, my will, and my emotions. And that's where God is saying, that's why we have to understand, tattoo on our heart, get a full revelation of the grace of God. Because then that thing keeps you tied down when the storms of life are raging. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And that's what we have to get. So God is an unchangeable God. And I love this scripture because it says that God swore on himself. See, because Abraham wasn't believing him. Because he came to Abraham and he was like, yo, like, I don't know. Like, is God really telling the truth? He said, Abraham, I want to bless you. But God, do you know what I did? Like, you know that I wasn't, he's like, That's why I'm here. I know they're saying this. And Abraham was like, yeah, I don't know. Like many of us, when God sheds his grace on us, we like, why? Why would you do that for me? And God says, this ain't got nothing to do with you. This has to do with me. Like we think we real important. like it don't matter how much the gift costs if you didn't have to pay for it. All you have to do is receive it. Well, I ain't never had no Rolex. Do you want it? And then when somebody gives us something expensive or valuable, hold on, no. Why? I don't. Come on. And then after we take it, because most of us is going to take it if they keep going, then what do? We try to repay them. We try to earn it. We try to make, now you let me know if you ever need anything, like you let me know. And we put ourselves in debt for something that was given freely. Y'all, I need y'all to hear me. When Jesus went to the cross, it became a gift that was given to us freely. When we put our faith in Jesus, we received the gift of Christ, and he did not put our salvation on layaway. So when I go to church, I'm putting a little payment on my salvation. And when I serve in the mission field, that was a little payment. He paid for it in full. Look at you. People don't even know how to act. I don't even... Are you sure? Is this right? That's why we're doing it for 6 weeks, because I know this is going to get your religion. I know this is breaking down your judgmental, Pharisaic, better than everybody. I know, like, the walls of your theology are shaking, right? But they're coming down. Because until you understand this, you will never, ever be his hands and feet on the earth, because you're judging the people you're supposed to be helping. What if every time somebody came in the hospital, we was like, they're bleeding out, but we like, I don't like his hair. That's what we do every time somebody walks into this church smelling like a bottle of whatever. Do y'all smell that? Yes, we all smell it. But you can come sit on the front row next. Matter of fact, I'll come pick you up next week. Like, why? Because if we don't, and we don't see people as children of God, we somehow allow ourselves to be put on this perch or this plateau of God's chosen. The prodigal son, his name was never stripped from him, even though he was out squandering and living wildly. What God is saying is that you're all my children, and I died for the entire world. See, we get so caught up in this thing, but this whole thing is not about rules and religions and fear. This whole thing is about love. It's summed up in John 3:16, for God so loved. Who? Not the church. I know. It sucks, because then you can't be better than them. I know. But that's how he designed this whole thing. That, I love the language they use, whosoever. And what's the key? Believe. So this is what I'm trying to help everybody understand. You got one work. Believe. That's it. Whosoever. That includes everybody. That includes your crackhead Uncle Jerry. And y'all don't even invite him to nothing no more, but somehow he always find out when the barbecue is at. What's up, nephew? What's up? Did you tell him? Everybody got that uncle, okay? Nobody ever invites him. He is there on time, drunk. But this is what I'm saying to you. But he still qualifies in a whoever. And then he has one qualification. Everybody say believe. And that's what happened when God came to Abraham in Genesis 12. Read the whole thing. He said he believed. And at the moment he believed, Abraham still was going to make mistakes. Abraham was still going to sin. Abraham was going to commit adultery with the housekeeper. I know we always talk about these stories like they were holy and sanctified back then. His wife, they were so perverted in their thinking that they were trying to make what God had for them come to pass prematurely, and he slept and created, birthed a problem. What are you saying? That there are consequences for your sin. Like you can't think that you can do anything and nothing's gonna happen, but God is still with you. And what everybody tries to make you feel is like, just because a church leaves you does not mean God leaves you. Just because friends and family leaves you does not mean God leaves you. And that is what we can drop our anchor on. That no matter what comes and who goes, that God is my anchor. Can somebody give God some praise in this building? So God, he swears on himself. And this tripped me out because Abraham didn't think he was telling the truth. So he says, Abraham, I swear to you on myself. And I don't know what high school you went to, but at my high school, we used to do this thing when we felt like somebody was lying or wasn't telling the truth. And we did this thing and we would call it, put that on something. Some of y'all know. And so like, so for a guy who came up to us, was in our friends, we'd be like, bro, Sarah says she's going to the prom with me. AKA the most beautiful girl in the school. And everybody looking like, Sarah is going to prom with you? Because he is facially challenged, hashtag ugly. And so it don't make no sense to us. And so if we didn't believe him, we say, put that on something. And so there were levels to it. So you found what you would put it on. And then he would say something like this, I put that on everything. That's real general. And so if they said we put that on everything, nobody had real faith on it. But if they wanted to take it up a level, they say something like this. I put that on my mama. Yeah, some of y'all know we went to the same high school. Okay. And you know we ain't just putting nothing on our mama. You know what I'm saying? Especially on Mother's Day. And if we still thought they was lying, we'd take it up one more notch. And me and my friends, we said, I put that on me. On me. I don't know what would happen like if it didn't happen, but I mean, I'm not putting nothing on me that, and that's what God said. He said, Abraham, I want to make you a promise. I'm going to bless you. I want to multiply. And on the way over here, I couldn't think of anybody greater than me. So I put that on me. Like, oh, y'all got to hear me. Like, this is what God is saying to you. I want to bless you. I want to multiply you. I want to do it. And I can't think of nobody better. So I put it on me. When we receive that truth, you walk different. You live different. You talk different. You give different. Because you know that I'm anchored to something that is better, and this is wrong English, but gooder than me. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And that's what the grace of God does for us. Look at Hebrews 6:17. It says, in the same way God did with Abraham, God desiring even more. Like he did this for Abraham, but he wanted to show even more, to show the heirs of the promise. And that is us, the unchangeableness of his purpose. The question is, who are the heirs of the promise? I'm glad you asked. Romans 4:13. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world, this is talking about Abraham, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. So it wasn't for Abraham or Isaac, but look who it was for. But through to the righteousness of faith. That's us. People who put their faith in Jesus, this is who the heirs of the promise are. For it is those who are of the law, if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. What God is saying to all of us is you got to get this message of grace, because I can't change, I can't lie, and you are the heir of this promise. If you put your faith on me, you get the inheritance of the kingdom of God. If you do one thing, not clean up all your nasty acts, not change all your habits. We believe that if God gets your heart, he can change your habits. But we're trying to make people change habits that have closed off hearts. And church, that's why we are a hospital for humanity. We are not a club for the Christians. We are someplace that people can come in broken. You can belong before you believe here. Because until you understand let me just prove it to you. How much did you love God before you accepted him? You have to love him first. And we've been getting everybody to change first. And what we got to understand is the grace of God is saying, I'll take you as you are.
Come on,
man. Come on. Yeah, you stink. Come on. Like, come on. Yeah, you keep messing up. Come on. And I just wanted to make the call for every person in this room. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And that first song we sang, his grace is chasing you down. Like y'all been running and you turn around and it's like, oh, it's me again. Because he wants to show you not religion. He wants to give you relationship. But until you receive the grace of God, you'll never be able to anchor your soul. That I may mess up and things may change, but I'm not moving. Not because I don't want to. It's because I'm tied to something greater than me. Yeah, you know, my feelings want to move. I want to slap people sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I want to do the wrong thing, but my soul is anchored. You got me? And so I want everybody to see this. So let me give you 2 points to just drop your anchor on, and then we out of here. The first thing I want you to drop your anchor on is Jesus is our high priest forever. And I know for some of you that doesn't make sense, but that's why I'm here to explain it to you. Jesus is our high priest to get forever. Hebrews 6:20 says, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:17, for he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:23, it says, also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Let me explain this to you. Back in the day in the Old Testament, if you were to talk to God or to be in relationship with God, you had to have a high priest or a priest that would go in and talk for you because you were unclean. You had sin. You could not go in. So there would be a high priest. You would bring goats, donkeys, bulls, sacrifice them, give them to the high priest. And he says, I will take your offering to God. And then they would go behind this thing called the veil, which was the presence of God. And they would offer the sacrifice to God. So you as a person did not have a direct connection with God. You had to have a priest go in for you. And this is saying that there were so many priests that died because they wasn't right with God. They kept dying. And literally they died so much that they tied a rope to them because they know, I don't think Jimmy gonna make it out of this one. Because if they was unholy, like dead, like they just fought. And they would literally drag them out. And so they get together and be like, man, we lost John this year. We lost Bob. Bob was a good brother. He went in there. And so they said, we basically had to keep finding new priests because nobody was perfect. And they would go into the presence of God so that we could communicate and they would die. And so this scripture tells us when Jesus comes onto the scene, God said, y'all stop all that. Because we just going to kill everybody because none of y'all, none of y'all is going to do this. I'm going to send the only person who can live a blameless life, and I'm going to take sin and I'm going to put it on him. All your sin. And every sin that you have committed, you are committing, and everyone you will commit. And I'm going to put that on him. He's going to live a perfect life, and I'm going to make one sacrifice for everybody once and for all. And if you believe, everybody say believe. If you believe, you will have eternal life. What does this mean? We got a high priest forever. We didn't get one for a month or two till somebody messes up. That's why I need to tell you, I'm not your high priest. If I mess up, you still have direct access to God. Y'all miss it. See, we put the men of God or the women of God in this position. Well, they hear from God for me. No, boo-boo, you hear from God for yourself. The veil was torn. When Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says that the veil between us and God was not ripped from the bottom to the top. It was ripped from the top to the bottom. Oh, y'all better hear me. That means somebody that is greater, that is holy, that is mighty, he ripped it so that we could have direct access. Y'all better give God some praise right there. Come on, you got a priest that goes in and you can talk to him. So what are you saying, Pastor Mike? When you're struggling, you don't need nobody else. You got direct access to God. Because through Jesus, you get access granted. God, I'm struggling in this sin. Father, I need you right now. God, I need you to come stand in this situation. I'm trying to tell y'all, if we get this, that we don't need a whole bunch of people to get direct access to God. That is our inheritance. Did y'all hear it? Like, that's what we get as people who believe in Jesus. And so many of us are living beneath our access. Whew, that's crazy. Well, what happens? See, this is what I'm trying to do. Let me paint this picture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm literally, it's like somebody coming up to me and saying, hey, I need some money. And I say, here's a card. I put $2 million in an account for you. I want you to go and use it as you need to. And you say, really? Ah, that's too good to be true. I don't believe that. And you carry this card around. Hungry. Homeless. Sick. Deprived. And literally in your possession, you have something that would give you access. And so you say, okay, I'm going to use it. Maybe this is true. Maybe I'll believe in what was done for me. And the only thing that you need is an access code. Because you can stand at the machine with the card, with the knowledge of what it has on it, and not be able to get nothing out of it. Because you have, oh, I feel the Spirit of God. I'm like, whoa, I felt that thing. You got all this that could change your entire life. But you've never found the code. Today I'm giving you the code to life. That once you put your belief in Jesus, he becomes your access code to God. And healing, you can go to the Father for that. Deliverance, you can go to the Father for that. You need a breakthrough in your mind, you've been tormented, you can go to, and you don't need a high priest, a pastor, a prophet, an apostle. You don't need none of them. You have direct access to God. Hebrews 10:11, these are probably two of the greatest verses I've ever read in the Bible. Listen. And I'm going to ask you some questions in it, so I want you to talk back to me, okay? And it says, and every priest, how many priests? Stands. Do they stand or sit? Stand. Ministering daily, how often do they minister? Daily. And offering repeatedly, how often do they offer a sacrifice? Repeatedly. The same sacrifice, is it the same or different?
Same.
Which can never, never or always
never.
Take away sins. Now watch, I'm going to read it again. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But now I'm going to read verse 12 and I want it to dawn on you. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. I want you to know the only reason he could sit down because it is finished. Somebody needs to rejoice because your grace is sufficient and it is finished. You gotta drop your anchor. You gotta drop it on this. Woo-wee! Come on, take 5 seconds and give God praise that he is our high priest forever. Thank you, Lord. I feel the presence of God in it because somebody's about to get free. Hear what I'm saying to you, because this is what we got to understand. The question is God our high priest on a good day? Okay, so is he our high priest on a bad day? See, because we think he's our high priest on a good day. You know, a good day when we read our word and we prayed and we played that playlist that brings the glory. Yeah. Y'all know, we didn't cuss too much and we didn't smoke, like that's a good day. He's our high priest that day. The Question is he a high priest on a bad day? See, again, this whole thing is not about performance, it's about position. Like, it's not about what I do, it's about what he did. And there are consequences for every sin. Like, I want you to realize this. But that does not change how God thinks, looks, and loves you. And let me be very practical, because how can you know this? Because I walked through it. Your pastor, the man of God. Yeah. Me. About 7-8 years ago, I made a mistake. Like I sinned. I missed the mark. Now, I know many of me pastors won't get up and tell you where they missed the mark, because somehow this makes you invincible, the lies. So long story short, I didn't have car insurance and got in a car accident. And my natural nature is to be manipulative, a liar, conniving. I'll get all that. You know what I'm saying? And so what ended up happening was I got in the car accident. 15 minutes later, I remembered all the Progressive and Geico commercials that, I mean, they all came back, the little Echo, the Gecko, and everybody. You can have car insurance in 15 minutes or less. So I went and got car insurance, and I had it all planned in my house, planned in my head. When they called me, they were going to say, sir, did you have insurance at the time of the accident? And my response was going to be, yes, I had insurance on the day of the accident. Y'all see that? At the time, on the day. And I mean, she could have asked me again, sir, did you have, yes, I had insurance on the day of the accident. And I was going to be like, is something wrong with her? Like, does she not hear? Like, I was going to make her feel dumb, but I knew I was lying. Situation passes 3 years later, like after the situation, I come into Bishop's office. He said, Mike, do you know there's a warrant out for your arrest? Now, I'm pastoring the youth at this time. Like, I'm on this platform every Sunday. Like, and I made a mistake. I lied. I thought it wouldn't find me out. I thought the consequences were gone. This produced a felony charge with a possible 2-year in prison sentence. Yo, pastor. I looked at y'all, okay. You see that edge up clean now? I only got my hair cut right before it. I wore a suit in that mug. I turned myself in. Here I am. Why are you telling us this, Pastor Mike? Because God was still my high priest and was an advocate for me when I was in the most embarrassing situation in my life. I got up on this platform. See, because at that moment, I had a choice whether to take it and run and hide or to come to Daddy and come to my peers. Until I stood on this stage with my parents and Bishop and Helen Stubblefield, and I said, church, I made a mistake, but I want you to let you know that I'm progressing. That's not who I am. That's who I was, and I'm moving forward. Some of y'all was here when it happened. And I said, tonight I'm preaching a message at SoFly called Locked Up. They won't let me out. And I'm, oh, yes, I did. I see, because we got to start spinning what the enemy means for our evil. God wants to take it and turn it around for our good. But until we know that we have a high priest and our position has not changed with him, then we start acting out of what people would think. So all I'm saying is, God's with you if you make your bed in hell. That's what the Bible says. He'll help you make it. See, what people want you to do is they want you to be punished. What God wants is for you to change. Oh, that's so good. Like, people want you to be punished for your sin. God wants you to change, or the word they use in the Bible is repent. And all that word means to turn. So like, if you're hitting the wall, you're hitting the wall. He says, turn. Like, do something different. Stop sleeping with every girl. Stop lying on your taxes. Turn. And that's where we have to get, because God's grace is what he wants us to experience. And yes, he disciplines those he loves. But hear the word. He doesn't punish. He disciplines. Punishes with emotion. Get on, stop embarrassing me. Y'all see parents that punish their kids? That's because they feel something and they don't want their kids to look bad on them. God claims you and is proud of you even when you're messing over yourself. He wants to discipline you.
Discipline is for correction of action. It is not for eternal punishment. What I'm trying to tell you is when we suffer because of our own sins, what God says is, let me help you with that. And let's discipline you. Let's become more structured. Let's change. Let's repent so that then you can get it right. Because his goal for you is not for you to die and be in this eternal place of just being jacked up. He wants you to change. Yes. So that's why he sent Jesus as our eternal, like he's our high priest forever. Okay, so drop the anchor on this last point and we're going to get out of here because this is too much for some of y'all to handle. I saw a lady face, she's like, you can't take it. I know it's a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot, okay? So drop your anchor on this, that Jesus is our mediator of the new covenant forever. Now, I know some people say new covenant. I don't even know about the old covenant. What covenants? What are you talking about? Okay, let me help you understand this. And I know for some of y'all come to church and you don't want to think, but if we're going to be equipped for this next wave of ministry, we got to understand stuff, not just believe it. You got what I'm saying? And so I'm going to show you something right here. There are three covenants that were made, okay? And this is probably going to help somebody so much. It's helped me. There was the Mosaic covenant. And when I think of covenant, just think of the word agreement. Like when two people make an agreement together, okay? So this was a contract or an agreement. How many people have a contract with their cell phone company, okay? This is where all the people with Cricket be like, nah, you ain't got no service though, okay? Okay, so this... Hello. Okay. So there, the first one was the Mosaic covenant, okay? And if any of this is spelled wrong, up here, fix it on your paper. Okay, so, and then there was the Abrahamic covenant. I don't put Abraham cov. And then there is what was called the new covenant, or I call it the new, okay? Okay, so all this is a covenant between, the Mosaic covenant was an agreement between God and Moses. And the Abrahamic covenant, what we're reading about, is a covenant between God and old Abe. And this new covenant, or the new covenant, is a covenant between God and everybody say me. Okay? And this is the thing. The old covenant, the way it worked, was by your works. What you did, what you sacrificed, what you made. This Abrahamic covenant is the example. So what God said, you know what? They can't even do this one. So I'm a prototype on Abraham, what I want for the rest of the world. And the way the new covenant works is by grace. All right, so let's read a scripture with this in the backdrop. Hebrews 8:6. It said, but now he, this is Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. Everybody say better covenant, better promises. Better covenant, better promises. So this is the old covenant. Okay? And I want everybody to understand that God is showing us that this is where it started. But if iPhone can get 10 upgrades, why can't God say, you know what? That one didn't work the way I wanted to. I'm going to try this one out. I'm going to beta test this one. I found it. And now I'm going to give them a new. This is the better. So like right now, you can go out and get an iPhone 1. There'll be features that will be missing. You will be frustrated because there are people and things you're supposed to connect with that you can't because this does not have what you need to be able to do. But God's saying, would you please let me upgrade you from doing everything based on your works? And would you allow me to give you the upgrade so that you can do everything? I have a better covenant with better promise. See, what you have to see is the example. This was symbolic. Or a shadow of what was to come. Yeah. And so this is where you have to understand it. Let me give you another scripture as we look at this, because you got to understand that when we say we have better promises and better covenant, God's saying these two is not what I want for you. I want this. And so when you work out of grace, when you work out of works and not grace, he said you're settling for less than what I've caused you to do. And read it one more time with the understanding of this. One more time. It says, but now he has attained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. See, the thing that makes this promise better is it doesn't just cover your sins, it cleanses your sins. See, here, they had to sacrifice bulls and goats every single day. And it was just to hold them over to the next time they sinned. And that's how we do. I'm going to church today because I done messed up. See, this is the thing. I don't think about everything I messed up on, that mistake I just told you about, because God doesn't bring that up to me every time I go to talk to him. See, we bring it up. God, it's me again and I messed up. You know I messed up. He said, I choose. I throw your sins as far as the east is from the west. I choose not to remember them anymore. He wants to cleanse our consciousness and have us stop serving him out of dead works. And most of us are serving him out of dead works. What are you talking about? Dead work. Let me define it for you. It's a work not initiated by God. Let me give you another definition. Any work trying to earn the favor of God. And many of you, and many of us try to do things to earn the favor of God. And he's saying, you know what? Believe me. And if you put your faith in me, then I'll start transforming you. Have y'all ever heard that song? Take my heart and mold it. And take my mind. Then do what? Conform it. And then take my will and transform it to yours. That's what happens after we believe. The rest of your Christian life is not a perfection, it's a transformation. Like, so you're still gonna mess up, but you keep coming back to God and saying, here I am, you're the potter, I'm the clay, mold me, make me, change me, take it off. My attitude is, yeah, take that off. And until we receive this message, we don't have an anchor, okay? I heard somebody say this. Somebody said that the church is not sin conscious enough. And I understood what they were saying. They were basically saying they need to know we live in a broken world and a fallen world and there's crazy stuff happening all the time. And we all agree with that. But I may suggest to you that the church is not grace conscious enough. Let me help you understand this. Why are you saying this, Pastor Mike? Because we're always holding ourselves and others to what they did, not what God has done. And when you don't start viewing people through what God has done in them, we judge them for where they're at and not for who God's called them to be. And so we won't give people chances because they haven't proven to us that they are worthy of it. And they can't prove it to you. You can't prove it to them. And that's why God says, I torn the veil so you know that I'm your high priest forever. And I have established a better covenant with better promises and it's for you. And all you have to do is put your faith in Jesus. I heard this story, and it really was funny. There was this guy who wanted to do an example on grace and works. And so what he did was he called his children together, and they had a huge birthday party. And he said, kids, I'm so excited that you're here today. We have a pool for you, inflatable toys. We got bounce houses, everything. Y'all, we're going to have a great time at this birthday party. Cake, ice cream, everything. He was like, but listen, everybody look at me. I have one rule. I do not want any of you to spit in this flower bed. Now, we plan for you. We have so much. You can do everything. I want you to have the best time. But look at me. I am so serious. Nobody spit in this little flower bed. All right, y'all go have fun. And he went behind the curtain of his house where he could see them, but they couldn't see him. And he said, not only did every kid spit in the flower bed, some of them spat twice. And even his own kids who were in on it, they spat in the flower bed. And I started to look at that. And God said, see, they're focusing on the wrong thing. instead of focusing on all the amazing things that were provided for them, they became sin conscious. They became conscious of what they were not supposed to do, and what you think about, you inevitably begin to do. And so many of us have been just thinking of not sinning, not sinning, not sinning, that all we do is sin. Like everything that we're doing, and God says, let's stop focusing on your failures and start focusing on my victories. Let's stop, y'all better hear me. Can we stop focusing on your mess ups and start focusing on my grace? And if we become more intentional at focusing on what he has done, it drops an anchor. So today, what are you telling us, Pastor Mike? That this grace message is the undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor and kindness of God.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.